The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order. We're your host. I'm Duvall. That's Dave Draper.
Yay.
Yay. We're coming to you, gang, 1 week from Christmas.
Yay.
Dave's so excited.
Whoop.
Yeah, you may...
Whoop indeed.
Yeah, you may hear a dog bark. Bear had surgery yesterday, and he's not happy because he got to wear a cone. So yeah, he's got to wear a little cone all around his neck, and he's not a happy camper. Nothing serious though. He had to have a little growth cut off his good eye, and they had to put like 3 stitches in the eyelid to connect it back together. So
yeah,
he's better today than he was yesterday though. He was walking around the house crying under his breath and just was not happy. But he's learned how to drink water with it on, so it's all good.
Yeah. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
He's a stubborn little booger. He'll be fine.
He is.
I mean, considering the stuff he's been through already.
Oh, I know.
I think one little stitch together eyelid ain't going to slow him down.
No, God, no. Not at all. It's looking to see. There's some... I guess there's a new video of Super Mario Land over in Japan, and it's... what's his name?
I don't know.
Shigeru Miyamoto. Mario's father, of course. Showing guests around, like, Bowser's castle for the Mario Kart ride and the different kinetic elements in the land that are, you know, it's all, like, there's animatronics all over the land and there's POW blocks and coin blocks you can hit. And the little watch that connects to an app that allows you to interact with your environment and... giant bombs that blow up and all kinds of stuff like this. It's very be interesting once it opens up in the States next year. But Japan, I think, is getting ready to open up here pretty darn quick. So I think people are going to be super excited for it when it actually opens. Like the Mario Kart ride uses augmented reality. So you put the glasses on and like characters are driving alongside of you. And
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a neat idea, and it's Universal, again, kind of one-upping Walt Disney World. So,
I'll be honest, I've been shocked at how poor Walt Disney World seems to come across once you really look at it hard. I always thought it was kind of the gold standard, but, like...
It used to be.
Defunct Land always has, like, here's this great ride that got taken down for garbage.
Yeah.
And then, like, I got some of the Star Tours, not Star Tours, some of the Galaxy's Edge merch.
Yeah.
And it's junk.
Yeah.
And it's just, like... And then you hear all the stuff like what Galaxy's Edge could have been. It's like, I get you guys want to be cost effective, but I don't know, man. It comes across as very unimpressive.
And then on the other hand, you have Universal Studios that constantly keeps outdoing, and they've been outdoing Disney since
They got the huge Harry Potter thing that's like a big draw.
Well, they've been outdoing them since the 90s, honestly, because the first big ride that really outdid Disney and outshined them was Spider-Man.
Yeah, it was a big one.
Yeah, it was a huge award-winning ride, and Disney was like, oh, God. But now, of course,
let's do Hollywood Taxi, or whatever
that
was.
Superstar Limo.
Superstar Limo.
Oh, God.
I just remember Colin Mockery is in the video for that.
Yes, it's fucking terrible. Never got to ride it, but it was still in existence the first time we went to Disney World or Disneyland, but it had been closed since, you know, forever, and it was just like this bare... Like, the stuff for the ride was still outside, but it was, of course, closed. So, terrible, terrible ride. But, yeah, I mean, Universal's got Harry Potter, and they've got all the, you know, the roller coasters. And now, the only downside to Universal is most of their rides are these simulator-type 3D movie rides, which a lot of, I mean, pretty much, it seems like everything... That's not an Islands of Adventures is one of those rides. And it's just like, after a while, you're like, okay, you ride one, you ride them all. It's like, all right, well, they're all the same damn thing. Shrek, Minions, Transformers, you know, it's like, it's all the same damn thing over and over and over again. So,
yeah.
But luckily, it looks like they're trying to get away from that and do some new stuff. So,
I wouldn't know.
I know. For fans of the series Lock and Key on Netflix, season two, of course, was getting ready to premiere, but they've also...
Oh, okay.
They gave the go-ahead for season three of Lock and Key already. So season two is going to premiere next year. Season three will begin production sometime early next year. So Netflix is pretty happy with the show. So, which is a shame.
Because, I would imagine Netflix is happy with anything right now.
Well, I mean, they've got a good show in like in Sabrina, in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, except like they canceled it. So this next part, like there was like season one, season two, and season three. Season three that's coming out is going to be it, but they showed a little clip of the trailer for it, and she's like, I don't know, she's in this weird alternate reality where she's on the TV show Sabrina, and the original actresses that played the ants are in the episode. And I was like, all right, well, that's a fucking good, that's adorable.
That's cute.
Yeah, I was like, that's damn cute. For anyone who bought Cyberpunk 2077, I apologize greatly. Unless you're playing it on a computer or a PS5, apparently. Because apparently the PS4 and the Xbox One...
I've heard the releases are plagued with issues.
Yeah. Apparently the only one that doesn't have any issues is the PC version. But all the other issues, like all the other versions... It's gotten so bad now that Sony has actually pulled it off their PlayStation Store. Because it's just a non-playable game, pretty much.
Wow.
I don't know, man. Any game like this with a story that I don't know why it's in there, but apparently you can like enhance your character's penis,
okay,
and make it super large.
Okay.
And on one hand, I'm going, that's funny, and on the other hand, I'm going, why is that a thing that you can do in this game?
I don't know.
Doesn't make any damn sense.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. I just don't know why you can do it. I don't know what in the game pays that off.
I don't know. But Hot Toys is releasing a figure of Johnny Silverhand, which is Keanu Reeves' character.
From the game. He's a big character in Cyberpunk lore.
Yes. Who, I don't know, apparently is only in the game for a short time.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if he were playing... If there were a video game set up in New York City, in the John Wick world, right? It'd be like a John Wick. Like Keanu playing John Wick. And then you're like, oh yeah, he's in the game for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. You're like, oh, there's John Wick.
Yeah, he's a very important character in Cyberpunk. The old school Cyberpunk.
He just, because it's based on an RPG, right?
Yeah, it's based on an old RPG.
Yeah.
Night City. Oh,
wow.
It's one of my favorite source books.
Really?
It's the Night City, just the giant source book.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Was it 80s or 90s?
I think it first came out maybe late 80s, but I mean, it was probably got big in the 90s.
Hmm. Yeah, but that poor game. Nobody seems to like it. Well, people like it. People that can play it like it, but a lot of people are just like, this is garbage. Diamond Comic Distributors announced that Free Comic Book Day is scheduled to once again be a single-day event and will take place Saturday, August 14th, 2021. So, of course, this year with COVID-19, it was all kinds of like really crazy. It was like a month of Free Comic Book Day, but this will be this celebration this next year. Is the 20th anniversary of Free Comic Book Day. Good God, it's been going on for 20 years. Jesus Christ. So yeah, that'll be fun for comic book fans. McFarlane showed off some new DC Multiverse figures from Injustice, this time giving us Injustice Flash and Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah.
It's a Dave Big Monkey.
Yeah, I wish Haya had done Grodd for their Injustice line.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know, the Flash figure does not look that great.
No, and it's not a bad sculpt either. He just looks weird.
Yeah, it's just a weird looking.
You got a weird expression.
Yeah. And then Grodd's just big angry monkey in gold armor.
Yeah.
Gorilla Grodd gold armor. But yeah, he's cool looking.
Yeah.
Grodd seems to be the one everyone's like, well, I'll get Grodd, but I'm not getting that Flash.
Well, yeah.
I figured you'd probably pick up Grodd because
if I can find him, I might.
Yeah. Because Dave like him. Some I do.
I used to have every Gorilla Grodd figure, but I think I've fallen behind.
Oh, no. For those of you who didn't know, I think we might have talked about it a couple shows back, but Lanard Toys... is it Lanard or Lennard?
I always say Lanard, but...
Lanard, yeah.
Who knows?
They did the Aliens property, and now they're expanding and doing Predator.
This is weird to me, but go ahead.
So they're doing three figures that will stand close to 7 inches tall and have 25 points of articulation. Then it'll be the Berserker Predator, the Jungle Hunter Predator, and the City Predator. These will cost under $20. But they're also doing a 12-inch line of Predator figures as well. And the 12-inch line will feature things like removable biohelmet, flexing jaw action, and lights and sounds for the shoulder cannon. So,
see, I don't understand why they're completely incompatible with the Aliens line they're doing.
Right.
That's just weird.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the thought process there was, but...
Well, I mean, I wonder if it's like a legal thing, or...
Eh.
Because Hiya's still cranking out Predator and Aliens toys.
Yeah. I mean, they look great for...
I mean, they look good for... yeah, they actually look better than the Aliens toys.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, the Aliens toys, the sculpts on the actual Xenos are really good. It's just they're all one color,
yeah,
and they're all stupid colors.
Yeah, they're all dumb. Like...
Where these are, like, painted...
Yes.
So I think these
have paint apps and
they show off the sculpts better. I think
this one glows in the dark. So
there you go.
So there's some cool stuff there for. I mean, if you want some cheap, you know, some affordable figures that are.
Yeah. To be fair, I think like the last 5 or 6 years, we've gone from it being really hard to be an Aliens and Predator collector to like there is so much crap.
Oh yeah.
Between NECA and Hiya.
Yes.
They're constantly cranking out
all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see. Loose Collector Collectibles. It's Executive Replicas and Loose Collector Collectibles has done a heavy metal flagship character in the form of Tarna.
Yeah.
On her little winged
bird.
Yeah, her bird thing. It's kind of a cool looking figure. I mean, it's captures the look of heavy metal very well. Big breastises and all.
Maximum boobage.
Yeah. She's got 26 points of articulation.
Points.
And then the bird looks like he's got some posable wings and doesn't look like he's anything more than maybe like 4 points of articulation at the legs and the wings and maybe the head.
Maybe.
Wow. You can pre-order the set from...
Yeah, it's up on Big Bad.
Big Bad. Avis has 5 points of articulation, but if you want the set, it's $129.99.
Yeah.
This is the problem with small companies like this. I think it's one of the arguments I've seen made against NECA, you know, in recent years, is they're like, why can't NECA make, you know, why do they got to make $30 figures? Why can't they be more in line with Hasbro? Well, NECA's not as big as Hasbro.
Yeah, it's they don't make as much.
Yeah.
And the licenses are expensive.
Yes. Kind of like this. I guarantee you they're not making a whole bunch of these, which is why they're $130.
Yeah, probably.
Speaking of NECA, the 8-inch Ace Ventura clothed figure of the Shady Acres Ace Ventura. Got some pictures of the final packaging and put me in, coach. I'm ready. Ace in his weird little mental hospital tutu and comes with an extra head.
Yeah.
Just give me a chance. And it looks like he comes with some accessories.
Question mark?
Yeah. Oh, he comes with Wiggles, the Yorkshire Terrier.
Okay. Thank goodness.
I know, right?
I was worried.
I still love that movie.
I liked it when I saw it back when it first came out.
Mm. And it looks like NECA's revealed a new 2020 visual guide, this time for their line of Back to the Future figures. Plus, you get with the visual guide, you get a first real look at the upcoming Ultimate Audition Marty, which NECA had only shown from behind. So you get a good look at the new upcoming Ultimate Marty with his guitar from the band.
The audition.
Yeah, the auditions.
You're just too darn loud.
You're just too darn loud, said Huey Lewis, of Huey Lewis in the news. And then the actual...
Leaving Facebook.
I wasn't even on Facebook, but whatever. The actual...
Still leaving Facebook.
Yeah, apparently... apparently it does not like that.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, I was going to look at it, but apparently we're not going to look at it because I can't get it to open. I don't know what TNI did, but they copied something from Facebook and it didn't work. Apparently, DC Multiverse 7-inch new figure from McFarlane's for the Hellbat Lunar New Year Edition. It's coming to Diamond Distributors with a May 26, 2021 release date.
Okay.
It's not known if the figure is going to be only available at comic and specialty shops or everywhere DC Multiverse figures are sold. I would assume only at comic and specialty shops because of Diamond Distribution. But we don't really have a look at the figure, just kind of an artist rendition of... it's like a golden black...
It's a Batman.
Yeah, it's a Batman. Surprise. Oh, no. It'll basically be a reprint of the previous Hellbat figure they did. And then also, there's been a lot of talk about the people getting the Red Hood figure in a single pack from DC Multiverse. Okay. And I guess that's going to be released as a single figure, but nobody's sure if it's going to be just a Target exclusive or it's going to be available everywhere. Yeah. So it's an exact reissue, the one that's currently being released in the two-pack with Nightwing.
Might as well just buy the two-pack with Nightwing.
Yeah, no crap.
It'll be cheaper than eBay.
Yeah, boy, will it. Warner Brothers, of course, we talked about their entire 2021 slate of films going to HBO Max and theaters. The Mortal Kombat reboot will launch April 16th instead of January 15th.
Oh, no.
And they've released a teaser poster for it. And
Hey, it's the Mortal Kombat symbol.
Yeah, it's a Mortal Kombat symbol. That looks...
What's the words of Mortal Kombat?
Looks very CGI-ish, kind of.
Okay.
So, I'm not impressed.
I'm not really wedded to that franchise.
Yeah, I know. New wave of AEW Unrivaled figures is getting ready to hit.
I don't even know what that is.
All Elite Wrestling.
Okay.
And Jazzwares, who produces that line, showed off pictures of the new figures, including the current TNA television champion, Darby Allin, or TNA, AEW television champion, Darby Allin, with a variant. It comes with this little skateboard that he uses. Orange Cassidy, who is one of the most popular superstars in AEW right now. Comes with interchangeable hands, so you can actually put his hands in his pockets. That's kind of a shtick.
Okay.
It's hard to explain Orange Cassidy. Pac. It comes with the chair.
Pac.
Yep, that's his name. The Bastard Pac. Rio. The AEW Women's Champion. A new version of Matt Jackson of the Young Bucks. And a new version of Nick Jackson of the Young Bucks. And, bah. I have never seen these figures in the stores. Like, ever.
I've never heard of this organization.
Oh, AEW, it's huge.
Oh, sure.
Sting's in it. And,
okay. Sure, Sting.
AEW was created a couple of years ago now.
Oh, I imagine after the other one got absorbed by the McMahon...
Well, it kind of left a vacuum, and a lot of these guys worked for WWE, and they got, like, Cody Rhodes, and a lot of independent guys who were really big in Japan and stuff. They basically joined forces with Tony Khan, whose father owns... I don't remember what football franchise.
Apple 5?
No, I don't remember what franchise they own. They own the Jacksonville Jaguars Fulham FC of the English Premier League.
Oh, okay.
So,
sure.
Yeah.
The English Premier League.
Yeah.
That's the Premier League in England.
He was actually... He's from Champaign-Urbana is where he was born.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's co-owner of AEW, and they're doing pretty good. They're beating WWE in the ratings every time they're on against them, so...
That's... Is that really hard? It seems like these organizations These organizations pop up when the WWE gets stagnant.
Yeah.
And they kick their butt, and eventually WWE, like, just decides to steamroller them and, like, gets back in the game.
Pretty much. That's what's happening.
And once they win, they get stagnant again, and they don't care.
Yeah, that's what's happening right now, is that the Raw ratings are super low. Low enough for Vince and his little team of yes-men to finally go, maybe we should do something about this. You think, Vince? People are turning you off in droves because your shit's terrible. Hasbro apparently is doing a line of 10-inch Titan class figures that have been discovered at Target. People are very divided on these figures.
No, they're great. They're wonderful.
Dave does not like them.
No, they're great. I think they're awesome. I really hope, please, Target, Do not demand these as exclusives instead of classified. Oh, please, it would break my heart.
Hasbro seems to be pretty big on doing these Titan Class figures. They started it with, they're cheap, kids seem to buy them. I'm not going to lie, last time I was at the Goodwill outlet, just every time you flip through a bin, there's more Titan heroes, and you're like, Jesus Christ, man. Kids,
because kids don't care. Like, yeah. The thing is, we're weirdos
yeah.
who cling to our childhood.
Yeah.
A kid plays with a toy for like a week or two, like, and then moves on. With it. Yeah, yeah. Gets bored with it.
Yeah. But they're doing Snake Eyes, Storm Shadow, and Duke for that wave. So.
And the thing is, it's not for you, angry collector. It's for kids.
Yeah.
It's to get kids engaged in Joe again.
Yes, very much so. It's to get kids very excited in Joe, so they'll want to buy G.I. Joe's. So, very good stuff. Well, with that, we've wrapped up the portion of the show where
We do have an update.
Oh, yes?
Cyberpunk 2077?
No.
Oh. Back in the day. Back in 1988.
Yes.
When it was first published by Chaosium Games.
Oh, gotcha.
It was like Cyberpunk 2020-something.
Oh, gotcha.
Because back then that was considered futuristic.
Now, not so much.
Yeah, now it's a nightmare that cannot end.
It'll never end.
I don't think it will.
This is the year that never ends.
It's like we got the vaccine. Hey, oh gee, it just mutated in England.
Oh, Jesus.
Get back in your holes.
Yeah, citizens. Go back to your homes.
Go back to your pods. Sorry.
No.
It's been a long year.
Yeah, no, you're preaching to the choir, my friend. Trust me, the animals just cost Carrie and I this last week about $1,400. So, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Now, if you have not seen the season finale of The Mandalorian, you might want to shut the show off.
Yeah.
Because Dave and I are going to spoil the shit out of this thing.
It's really hard to talk about it and not.
Yeah, boy, isn't it. So, shut the show off and we'll see you next week.
It was really good. You should watch it. It's...
Yes.
I mean, seriously, like, it was... Like, I grew up with these movies.
Yeah.
They were a huge part of my childhood, and I really felt that kind of magic.
Yeah.
Like, for the first time, probably since Return of the Jedi. Like...
Yeah, it was pretty...
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was great.
So shut it off now, because we're going to start.
Okay.
Yeah, like Dave said, it was a stunning culmination to 2 years worth of storytelling.
Yeah, and we've had this conversation via text. I think that this was like the end of this book.
Right.
Partly just story-wise, like it concludes the arc, it concludes the story. And literally it says next year, the Book of Boba Fett, which
yes.
we'll get to.
Yes.
But like it says Book of Boba Fett, December 2021. And, you know, if you look at the way the show has been, it's been like chapters.
Yes.
Like each episode's called a chapter, and the chapters... Like, we talk about episode, or season two, episode blah, but they've been consistently...
Chapters.
Well, like, but the numbers have been consistent for both
yeah.
seasons.
Yeah, because today's was chapter 16.
Yeah. So I think this was, like, one story. It's been told. I also noticed that the credits were very different.
Yes.
Like, they didn't have the art. The music was different. Like,
yeah.
Because it was weird because the music... was more subdued, but it also sounded like they had a bigger orchestra.
Yeah, no, they did. They had a full...
Yeah, yeah. It was interesting. It felt like an end credit to a movie, and there was a post-credit stinger.
Yeah.
It felt like this was the end of this story, chapter, arc. I am fine with that. I'm going to say something a little possibly controversial. If they never brought back... Din, what I think is his name.
Din Djarin
or Grogu.
Yeah.
I would be fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm happy with the way this ended and wrapped up. I almost wish they wouldn't. Because I think that's what happens. That's what goes wrong with pop culture is everybody loves the baby Yoda and he's selling a million stuffed animals. Let's bring him back.
Yeah.
People like that Jaws movie. Let's do 5 sequels.
Well, I think with Din.
People like
I
that
think...
Die Hard. How about we put John McClane in a... The submarine on Christmas.
I think you've seen the last of Grogu for a while.
Oh, yeah, for a while.
I think Din Djarin is... I think his story is going to continue at some point.
Well, supposedly we're supposed to get like a Christmas special.
Yeah, either the Christmas special or somehow, because now that
they did leave a... Well, why don't we get to that when we get to that? Okay. They did I'm trying to talk an overview. They did leave a little bit of a cliffhanger, not a cliffhanger, but a little open thing with
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah.
So we start, like, the episode starts, just to give you an idea, like, I woke up at 1 in the morning, and I couldn't go back to sleep. Like, I had to go to the bathroom, and the dog had to potty. I'm an old man. I got to pee, like, 3 times a night. I couldn't get back to sleep. And last week, our friend Bill
got up super early.
He has insomnia issues, too. And he had posted something at, like, 4 in the morning. And if you remember last week, they made a joke. They made an Office Space reference about TPS yes. reports.
Yeah.
And he posted that because he knew that nobody would get that until yeah. he saw the episode.
Yeah.
And I was one of those people. I was like, oh, he made an Office Space reference. And I watched the episode. I'm like, you bastard. How did you like? How did you watch this at 4 in the morning? He's like, it was on. So I got up at 1. I couldn't go back to sleep. I took about an hour. And finally, I'm like, screw it. I'm going to pull a Bill.
And just watch it, yeah.
My dog is still like curled up asleep in my bed. She didn't even come out and sit with me. And like literally the first thing you see is an Imperial shuttle. And then like suddenly Slave One pops up and it's chasing it and it's shooting it. And the shuttle's in this action sequence. The shuttle is one of my all-time top 10 favorite Star Wars spaceships.
Yeah.
And it was just a joy. Like from the moment this episode started, I had this smile on my face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it was just like, I get to see the shuttle. I mean, it didn't do much. It didn't really stand up very well.
No, it didn't.
But it was just a joy to see it in action. And then, obviously, the Boba Fett captures the shuttle.
Yep.
And there's a couple of weird Imperial dudes with weird head things. And
well, they capture the shuttle because they want the clone scientist.
No, they want the shuttle. They capture the clone scientist, but they want the shuttle
yeah.
so they can land it in on the ship
yeah.
on Moff Gideon's ship because it's an Imperial ship.
Well, that was an interesting segment too because the two guys they come in guns blazing and the two Imperial officers stand up and they're like, you know, the one guy's like, whoa,
I'm out. And yeah. then the other guy shoots him.
Yeah, the other guy shoots him in the back because the guy's like, I'm not with him. And then he gets shot in the back and then he grabs the scientist dude and you know.
And there's a nice little bit of detail. We found out in an earlier episode that Cara Dune is from Alderaan. And she's always had this little kind of tear, this rebel symbol tear thing.
Yes.
Tattoo. Apparently that's what survivors of Alderaan do.
Yeah. And
they call it the Alderaan tear. And so that guy talks smack and gets shot in the face.
Oh, boy, does he. She doesn't even waste any time either. She's like...
No, she's done with him. Scientist guy has a bad ear now.
Yeah, yeah. Because he gets, yeah. Because
he's right. It's literally one of those, like, the guy's holding him in front of him, and he's got the gun to his head. And,
yeah. They capture the shuttle. They go, and
Bo-Katan has a plan. She yep. lays out the plan, which is they're going to split. They're gonna go in hot. Boba Fett's going to pretend to chase him to draw off suspicion, and then they're going to come out of the shuttle hot and draw off the enemy fire, and then...
So...
Mando's going to sneak in afterwards after all the commotion and try to shut down... Because they've got this group of dark troopers.
Yes.
But it takes them like a time... It takes them a period of time to power up. So he's supposed to sneak in there and shut them down before they yeah. activate. So for those of you who were ticked off like 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
No, 3 weeks ago. Because last week was Bill Burr... Yeah, it would be 2 weeks ago that the dark troopers didn't get to do much. Yeah, don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
No, don't worry.
They get to do play.
They get to do play.
Yeah, they come in, you know, guns blazing, and Gideon commands on the bridge for them to basically activate the dark troopers. And
well, yeah, yeah. They crash. Like, the girl Imperial, who's sort of, like, it seems like she was played up as being a bigger character. But,
yeah,
like,
no.
She denies them permission to land. They crash anyway. They come in guns blazing. The stormtroopers are typically useless stormtroopers. There's a neat little moment. They've got, like, a little bridge over an open... There's a force field to keep air from leaking out, but, like, anything else can pass through it.
Yeah.
It's like a pit into space. And there's a neat little moment where the two... Because we skipped a whole segment, because they go and they pick up Bo-Katan and Sasha Banks.
Yeah, I can't think of her name.
And there's, like, a whole thing where, like, Sasha Banks and
Boba Fett get into it. They realize he's a clone.
Yeah, well, they she's known.
Yeah.
Yeah. They know like, he's not a real Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. And he's like, I never claimed to be. And it's like, oh, snap.
It's like, I thought you did. I thought that was the whole point of the last episode, the previous 2 weeks ago. I don't know.
Yeah, they get in this huge fight, and Boba Fett, you know, Boba's just being classic Boba.
Mm.
Go ahead, princess. And it's like, oh, shit. Yeah, they... So, but
the whole reason I brought it up is because there's this moment where the two... the two girl Mandalorians jump off the bridge.
Yes.
And then the stormtroopers run up like behind Fennec and
Cara Dune. Yeah.
And then they come up with their rocket packs and like hit them from the side.
Yeah, just blow them all to bits.
Yeah. They take out the bridge crew pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And they realize that Moff Gideon's not there.
Yeah, well...
And then we cut to Mando, who's running around the ship, and it's like he's taking his sweet-ass time to get to the Dark Troopers.
Yeah, and of course, by the time he gets there, they're already activated and coming out.
Well, they're not fully powered up, but they're ready to roll. Yeah. And I kind of in my heart knew this would happen. I was like, one's going to get out and be in a big fight. Because they can't fight them all. I was like, they can't fight them all.
No.
So, like the one will get out. One got out, and so there's a big fight between him and Mando gets the snot kicked out of him.
Yes.
And we were talking earlier, like, there's this great moment. The thing is punching him in the face, and his armor, his Beskar armor, is fine, but literally the wall behind him is collapsing.
Yeah, it's collapsing in.
From the strain.
He finally gets a hold of the Beskar spear that he's got with him, and he drives it through that...
Through the neck.
Yeah, through the neck and destroys it. And then he's able to run to the door, because the other ones are pounding on the windows, ready to break. And he pulls the blast door, basically, the handle... Which opens up into space and it sucks them all into space. And you're like, ha, take that, Dark Troopers. We'll get to that in a minute.
We'll get to that in a minute.
But he finds Grogu's cell and finds Moff Gideon standing over Grogu with the Darksaber, like kind of taunting Grogu with it.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, we're taunting Mando. And then there's this little bit where he's like, look, I already got what I want.
Yeah,
I got his blood. I just wanted to study it. Like, you go ahead and take him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's lying.
Oh, yeah. Because it makes Mando kick over his gun, and Mando turns his back on Gideon, and Gideon just...
Well, he picks up Baby Yoda, and Gideon, like, takes a swing at him. Unfortunately, the Beskar armor protects him. He's able to kind of block the...
Because they kind of tell you the only thing that that Darksaber can't cut through is
I don't even know about that, because, like, it becomes a spear versus Darksaber fight.
Yeah.
And there are a couple moments there when it's pressed against the spear,
and
you can
glowing.
See it, like, glowing. Yeah, it's...
But, of course, he disarms Moff Gideon.
Eventually.
And earlier in the episode, though, Bo-Katan was like, Gideon surrenders to me and me alone. And you're like, well, that's a weird kind of...
I didn't even think about it.
Yeah,
that's
a weird bit of dialogue, but okay, I could see that.
I was just like, okay, yeah, you really want the Darksaber.
So here comes, here comes Mando leading Moff Gideon in handcuffs with the Darksaber in one hand, lit up, making Gideon move, and Grogu in the other, and he walks in, and look on Bo-Katan's face that he's holding the Darksaber.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's one of the best bits of acting in that episode.
Well, and Gideon's expression, too, because he knows what's up.
Yeah. It's just this amazing crestfallen. And Mando tries to give
the
Darksaber.
He's just like, here, there you go. There's your thing.
And he's like, just take it. And that's when Gideon explains this amazing subterfuge that he...
I guess.
I mean, Dave was not a fan of it, but I thought it was...
I mean, like, it's the Elder Wand.
I thought it was a brilliant villain move. I'm like, that just makes Gideon one of my favorite Star Wars villains of all time. Because he's just this know-it-all prick. And he's just like, oh, but she can't take it. Because she has to beat you for it.
Yeah, it's Red Sonja rules.
Yeah. And Bo-Katan won't take it, and now technically...
See, if I were Mando, I'd just dropped it on the floor.
Mando, until she beats Mando in combat, Mando technically is the ruler of Mandalore now.
I mean, does it have to be lethal combat? Can you just like go, oh no, you've disarmed me.
Well, because
Gideon, he literally says, I yield.
Yeah.
And it's not good enough.
Gideon says it's not...
Yeah, it's not anything intrinsic. It's
it's
the story. It's
the story behind it. So, just that great bit of subterfuge. And the next thing you know is that the alarms go off and they're like, oh, what is that? Somebody's landing? They're like, well, how many life forms? They're like, oh, there's no life forms.
That's when I was like, oh, yeah, the Dark Troopers have jets, don't they?
Yeah, the Dark Troopers fly back onto the jet or fly back onto the ship and start, marching. In this big garrison towards
platoon.
Yeah, towards the bridge. And everybody's just basically gearing up, and Gideon's like,
you guys can make your last stand, but the only person on this bridge who's going to survive is me.
Me and the child.
I don't even think he says the child.
He says the child.
Does he?
Yeah, he says me and the child.
I don't think he cares about the child at this point.
And of course, the Dark Troopers get there, and they're pounding on the door outside, and they're trying to open it. And everybody's kind of like, ready to make their final last stand. And then all of a sudden you hear the alarms go off again.
And there's a ship.
And there's a ship. A lone X-Wing.
Well, okay, to be fair, as I was watching it, an X-Wing flies by.
Yes.
And I actually thought that, like, there'd be, like, a bunch.
Well, and Carrie...
Let me kind of give my process for this. Because there is this whole sequence of events. I thought it was going to be, like, a whole bunch. And then it was just... And then I thought it was going to be... That first one was going to be that guy... I keep calling him Space Columbo.
Yeah.
The fat X-Wing pilot. And then it's just that one. You're like, oh. And even, right then I was like... The minute it landed, I'm like... That whatever Jedi it's going to be, that's the Jedi.
And even Cara Dune was like, X-Wing, we're saved.
Wow.
And then, of course, you know, they're watching. And Gideon kind of looks a little concerned. And then they see...
I don't think Gideon knows what's up.
You see the figure step...
You see him get out of the cockpit. Yeah. Well, you see it through a monitor. He gets out of the cockpit, and he's got a robe.
Yeah.
And, like, again, like I said, the minute I saw it land, I knew it was going to be a Jedi.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is, like, you're like, oh, my God, it's Luke. And I'm like, it can't be like, the whole sequence, just so you know, from here until the actual reveal of the character, I was literally sitting on the edge of my seat saying, it can't be.
Yeah.
It can't be. But he gets out and he's got a black, kind of a dark, brownish, blackish, grayish cloak.
And the way they filmed it is you never, until they reveal it, you never see his face.
You never get to see his face, too. You see his chin.
You see.
Because they do it in bits. This is the whole thing, is they do it in bits. And then he comes out and he starts, like, fighting the Dark Troopers. The first shot you see is through a monitor, and it's like a kind of got a monochrome thing going on. It's like blue and white, so you only see the lightsaber is white, right? So you're like, so you don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah. And then the next time you actually see him fighting in the corridors, and he's just like, you know, this is the reverse of the Rogue One sequence.
Yeah.
Where he's Vader and the Dark Troopers are putting up a fight, but they're the Rebel Troopers, and they're getting like smashed and broken and slashed. And you see it's a green lightsaber.
Yeah, and you're
and
like...
right there, I'm like, it can't be. And, like, at this point, I am, like, studying every detail on the screen. And he's got the Return of the Jedi outfit, including the belt buckle. And the hand gripping the lightsaber has got a black glove on. And you don't get a good look at the hilt until, like, he gets into like, a cargo bay. And there's a moment where you see the hilt, and I'm like, that looks like the hilt. Yeah. And then you see his other hand, and his other hand is flesh. He's got one, he's Michael Jacksoning it. He's got one glove, one bare hand. And my brain still won't, I'm like, this is some trick. It's a trick. It's going to be stupid Ezra. He's got a green lightsaber. Now he's got a mechanical hand because because they hate me and they want to hurt me. It can't be. But like every little piece of information they feed you, and they feed it bit by bit.
Yeah.
And he gets on the thing and he comes up and there's like a whole row of Dark Troopers and he just goes to town on them in the very last...
It's almost like you're watching him and he's like, he's not even really trying. Like
he's making just a little bit of an effort. There was a little bit.
The moment that got me when I knew who, when I, you know, because I knew when the green lightsaber, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. When you see the green lightsaber, that's pretty
the,
much...
The moment that really nailed it home with me is at one point towards the end, he's walking away and there's a Dark Trooper and he's got his hand up and he throws his blade behind him like Anakin and blocks the blast.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I'm not...
Plus he used all kinds of stuff. He used the Force Crush, which...
Well, that was the last Dark Trooper.
Yeah.
Like, comes up to him and he just, like, crushes it with the Force. And then the doors to the bridge open and he pulls back the hood and it's Luke.
Well, what's interesting, though, is while all this is happening, they're like...
Everyone else is like freaked out.
Well,
the Mando.
Well, Grogu sees him on the screen.
Well, Grogu's touching the screen.
Touching the screen, and Mando realizes that.
Because he talked to Luke with the magic rock.
Yeah. So, Mando realizes we can trust him. What's really interesting is if you watch, while all this is happening, if you watch, like, Moff Gideon's face, he realizes who it is and realizes, holy shit, he's on my ship. And he tries to kill himself.
He does.
He tries to kill himself. A Cara Dune knocks it away.
Well, first he shoots Bo-Katan.
Yes.
And then he does try to shoot himself. And yeah.
Because he realizes who the Jedi is. And he realizes...
You know, I think he knows it's up.
No, he knows it's Luke Skywalker.
Well, yeah, to be fair, that's the only Jedi that's technically supposed to exist.
Yeah, and he knows that's the Jedi that destroyed the Empire. And he's like, oh, shit. And then he tries to kill himself because he's like, no, this ain't happening. And that's when Cara Dune saves him, I guess.
Yeah, clocks him with the butt of a rifle.
Knocks him the hell out. And then Mando's like, open the doors. And I think Fenric's like, are you nuts? And he's like, just open the doors. Yeah. And he opens the door, and the doors open, and out steps, you know, this figure with the green lightsaber.
And he's got the hood up, and then he pulls the hood back.
And well, Mando goes, are you a Jedi? And he pulls the hood back, and he's like, I am. And you're like, holy shit, it's Luke. It's just a great sequence of, you know... he says, you know, I've come for the child. And Mando kind of looks at Grogu and he's like, well, go on, kid, go on. And Luke's like, well, he wants your permission.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God. And he kind of walks over to Grogu and picks him up. And he's like, you know, it's okay. You can go. It's, you know.
Grogu reaches a little hand out and, like, yes, touches
the helmet.
The face of the helmet.
And Dave and I were talking. It kind of defeated.
It was a little bit. I wish the previous episode he hadn't taken the helmet off. Because I think it kind of undermined it just the tiniest bit.
It undermined it this moment.
A little bit. Yeah. But, like, it is. It's still very touching because he takes.
But what's interesting, though, is if you go back and think about this season. How Mando, the more Mandalorians he meets.
Oh, he realizes that things are different than what he's been led to believe.
Yes, he starts to question his religion, basically.
Yeah, a little bit.
And starts to realize, well, maybe they're all wrong.
I don't know that it's that. I think it's just that there are things more important.
Yeah.
I think the point is that Grogu is more important to him than being a Mandalorian.
Yes.
Being a true Mandalorian.
But he takes his helmet off and Grogu reaches up and touches his face. And he sets Grogu down and Grogu kind of hugs his leg. And seems a little reluctant to leave until...
And fucking R2-D2 rolls in.
R2-D2 rolls in. And then you're like, oh, okay. And then Grogu kind of looks at him and walks over to inspect him. And R2's just like rocking back and forth all happy and excited.
Yeah, I'm surprised he'd be excited. Like the last time I met one of you bastards, he hit me with a stick.
But, Luke picks up Grogu and they leave and you're just left with this look of, you know, this tears running down Mando's face.
Oh. Was Grogu crying? Like, I kind of tried to see.
Yeah, he was.
I couldn't quite make it out.
The door closes and you're like, boom, that's the end of the episode. The credits roll and then we get a credits.
And like I said, the credits are different.
Yeah.
It was a weird feel and it was Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
They used some...
Well, I think it was a body double.
I think it was a body double, and they used that weird.
And it was Hamill's voice.
Yeah, it was Hamill's voice. He sounded a little weird.
Yeah,
it was kind of like Princess Leia in or Tarkin in Rogue One. It had that element. It's a TV show.
Yeah. And then you get to the stinger, and
well, that's the thing. It's like like you're watching because my thing is I didn't know there was a stinger, so I'm just sitting there trying to process. I'm like, wow, that was incredible, and then all of a sudden, like the screen comes back on, and it's Jabba's palace, and I'm like. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
And they cut to the throne room, and like Bib Fortuna's on the throne.
Somehow survived the destruction of the barge.
Even in the old EU, he did, except he got back to the palace and the Bomar monks cut out his brain.
Oh,
But now he's like apparently taking over Jabba's.
He's the crime lord now.
He's taking over the organization. He's gotten fat and old.
Yeah.
Who hasn't? And if you pointed out, I guess he's played by the same actor who played him in Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
And he's got a Twilight Babe chained to the DS, and he's got Gamorreans running around. I'm like, this is amazing. I'm so happy. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
And you suddenly fire, you know, you hear
someone comes in,
Finrick comes walking down the stairs opening fire, and you're like, oh shit.
Just mowing down everybody. Yeah. And in the end, the only two that she leaves, well, some people, because you also see Ristal in the background. Hopefully she got away, because... She's just a dancing girl. Yeah. She shouldn't be shot. But like
she frees the
Twilight girl's like pulling on her chain. She shoots the chain, so she runs away. And it's just Bib, and then Boba Fett walks in.
Yeah, and he's like, Boba, I thought you were dead.
It's so good to see you. Bam.
Yeah, then Boba just kills
him. Shoots him, rolls him off the throne.
Shoves his dead body off the throne.
He sits down on the throne, and behind him, Fenric picks up like this beaker of blue. I call it Romulan ale. This blue liquid, and she just starts like chugging it.
Yeah,
like a
she
pirate,
gives him this grin.
Pirate lieutenant. Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit.
And it fades to black, and it says, The Book of Boba Fett, December 2021.
Oh, my God.
And you're just like, this is amazing.
Yeah,
that's also why I think, like, the problem is nobody can really talk about it because there's all these buttholes that are, like, dragging their ass watching this episode.
Right.
So it's like, because you and I have debated this. Like, I think that means that season 3 will be Boba Fett's season.
Yeah.
Because he's technically got, you know, a Mandalorian... and they said it was a book, and they didn't announce a Boba Fett series when they did all the announcements.
Well, people are speculating. The reason they didn't is because it would have spoiled the ending of this in some way, and it would not have been as effective of a stinger.
I still think because Din's arc is wrapped up.
Maybe well,
Yoda's
the
problem with Luke.
There's the
stupid Mandalorian.
You still have to deal with the Darksaber and Bo-Katan. You kind of do. I mean,
do
they kind of said.
Because they said Mandalore is just a plane of glass.
Yeah.
The Empire just, like... So it's like, yay, now we got to fight so that you can be the boss of this world, the Empire melted.
I don't know, dude. Either way, whether it's a new series or the next season.
Like, oh, yeah. Like, Boba Fett, Crime Lord? Hell yeah.
Yeah. Boba Fett and the Underworld. Well, people were saying that they wonder if it was, if Filoni and Favreau didn't yoink the Underworld series
that Lucas had been developing forever.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if they don't at least, like, take elements from those scripts.
Yeah.
Because they've delved so deep into the lore.
Yeah.
Like, they have to have seen those scripts.
Well, that all has to go on to Filoni, because it seems like Filoni understands, you know, and knows the Star Wars universe just as good, if not better, than Lucas does.
There's a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Like, because I remember when they had the Krayt Dragon episode, they talked to one of the designers, like, hey, it kind of looks like this one illustration from this one book. He's like, yeah, we use that book.
Yeah.
We
use that book a lot.
Like, our friend Brad, it's interesting. It didn't really get mentioned or brought up specifically in the show, but there's that moment in the episode when they capture Baby Yoda and Fett's going up in the Slave One
yes.
towards the cruiser, and you're like, why isn't the cruiser shooting at Slave One?
Right.
Well, if you actually read the stuff, like that ship is like laced with all these like radar jams or whatever, all these like sensor scrambling electronics, so they might not have been able to get a lock on him.
Right.
But it's like kind of... Like, the writers might have known that Slave One, you know, they couldn't get a good lock on it.
Had that kind of technology.
And so did... The Razor Crest had it, too, because that's specifically mentioned in the episode, the Prison Break episode. That's why they needed the Razor Crest. Yeah. But they also had the tracking device, which is probably why they were able to target it.
Brilliant episode, though. I mean, just brilliant.
See, this is the thing. This is, again, like we were, like I was saying earlier, this is the problem with modern fiction, is few people understand how to do a good ending, or the importance of a good ending.
The importance of a good ending.
And this episode proves that, like, a good ending is so incredibly satisfying.
Well, it was satisfying to have 2 years of storytelling wrapped up in such a, like, not even really a neat little bow, but really,
mostly. I mean, aside from the stupid Darksaber thing, which...
Filoni and Favreau showed, this is how you use a legacy character, or legacy characters with the advent of Boba Fett, I guess, too. You know, but with the usage of Luke Skywalker in such a way that they did, which I've seen some people pissed off that it was Luke. They're like, oh, why did it have to be Luke? That's dumb. And everybody's like,
what?
In my mind, it was like...
I thought everybody'd be thrilled. Now, all these people who were butthurt about Last Jedi.
He
doesn't do anything. He's just a sad
loser. There's a lot of people that were butthurt about that are thrilled that Luke...
Because I think that's part of why they did that.
I think it's more fans of like... Fall the Jedi, because that Jedi's still alive, and what's his face from Rebels? They were hoping they were hoping it was one of them, and of course it wasn't. But in my mind, it's like, well, Grogu called out on this rock, and the most powerful Jedi in all the universe is going to hear those calls and be able to track him. And who is it at that point?
Well, yeah, it's
Luke Skywalker. So it made a ton of sense to me that it ended up being Luke, and I think it was just like I said, it was just a big. Bill, you know, our buddy Bill was texting me this afternoon. He was just like, you know, just pure fan service. Not a bad way, but just like, oh my, I was like, yeah. I was like, that's how you do fan service. I'm like, that, you culminate a storyline.
See,
you've used original characters for pretty much an entire series at this point. You've created all new characters in the Star Wars universe that have become, I mean, hell, Bill Burr's character, for God's sake, is a great character. Yeah, is an amazing character as an ex-stormtrooper. And somebody who I don't think we've seen the last of.
Maybe.
But, I mean, he was too good of a character to kind of let languish in a prison.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Din Djarin, who is...
Again,
is,
like I said at the beginning, if this is the last we ever see of him, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
Like, because, again, there's something to be said about an ending to a story. And not just, like... We got to bring back Baby Yoda because everybody likes the Baby Yoda.
Right.
We got to bring back the Mandalorian because people like that. That's what went wrong with the show Heroes.
Yes. Yeah.
Is they kept bringing back the characters.
Yeah.
When it was never designed to be that way.
No, it was not. And I think it's the brilliant thing with Filoni and Favreau and Disney at this point, too, because Disney realizes, okay, we made mistakes, even though, like you and I, there are things you and I really love about the new trilogy and things we don't.
I mean,
you're one of the few people that actually love The Last Jedi.
I love parts of it.
Yeah.
You know, but I also, like, let me, before people start
breaking out the picture. Oh, loathe parts of it, too.
It's not that I loathe parts. I think there are parts that are bad, and I also think, in general, it's problematic because it screwed the third film.
Yes.
Like, I understand that the way they left things at the end of the film, it really put J.J. Abrams in a... One of the reasons the third film is so bad is because they kind of got dealt this hand from the second film. But on its own, I love all the stuff with Luke in Last Jedi. I know that's what makes people angry. I love all the stuff with Luke.
Yeah.
I love all the stuff with Luke. Oh, and then the bit where they kill Snoke and they have the fight. Like, I love that whole sequence.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But again, like, you killed your trilogy's big bad guy. That's why they had a dumbass Palpatine. Yeah.
But I think, you know, like I said, Disney realized, okay, we've made some mistakes. And letting Filoni and Favreau craft what people are starting to speculate might be completely alternate reality.
There's a lot of got. I don't think it's going to be that. I think it's just going to be that they quietly never mention the sequel trilogy.
Right.
Because even in that one episode, the second to last episode, with the Dark Troopers, and when Boba Fett shows up again, the landing craft are Force Awakens landing craft.
Yes.
So the Stormtroopers. So it's not like they've written off the sequel trilogy entirely.
No,
I don't think they will. I think they'll just quietly kind of not mention it. And if stuff doesn't quite link up properly, oh well.
Yeah, they're not going to be too concerned about it.
And it seems like everything is... I mean, the Marshall series, and we don't even know what the Boba Fett series is going to be.
No.
But I think the Marshall series is the only one that really seems to be post-Jedi.
Yes.
Well, Ahsoka. Ahsoka's doing her thing. But They're all in this nebulous time frame, just a few years after Jedi. They don't seem to be getting close to the first 20 years.
No, not at all. So it'd be very interesting to see where we go from here. We won't see another episode of The Mandalorian until next Christmas.
Maybe. I'm wrong, then we might see it sooner.
Yeah, well, it's possible. But at least coming up...
No. There's a Christmas special.
Oh, there's a Christmas special, yeah.
Which I assume was this year.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. I don't remember what all is coming to Disney Plus this month.
I don't know.
Of course, at least with January, we've got like WandaVision to look forward to. And
yeah. I mean, yes, I am looking forward to it, actually.
Yes.
When's Winter Soldier, Falcon?
Probably fall. Summer or fall, probably.
What?
Yeah, it would have to be because they're still trying to finish shooting it right now.
Jesus, Disney Plus.
Yeah, well, COVID caused a lot of problems, man.
You tell that to Tom Cruise.
No, God bless Tom Cruise.
Dude, like, actually, I saw a video about that today, and it put an interesting spin on it, because, like, you know, one of the big things about making a movie that people don't ever talk about is the insurance.
Yes.
This is one of the reasons that Robert Downey Jr.'s career almost ended.
Yes.
Because no one would insure him. And apparently, the reason he blew up at his crew, because there's this big story now that a bunch of his crew just left, because they're like, you're being mean to us.
Yeah.
They had to agree to all these protocols
yes.
in order to get the insurance to make the movie in the first place.
Yeah, in order for these people to work.
And Cruise actually apparently put up a lot of his own money.
Yeah, for this and of course movie. He's not just the star, he's an executive producer.
Yeah, so it's like, hey, you agreed to do this.
Yeah, you have a job
there's people that are starving that can't feed their families.
Yeah.
And you're screwing around, like, and you know me, I'm not a big fan of the mask, I'm not a big fan of the 6 feet stuff.
Right.
But, like, if I'm taking a job, and part of that job is you gotta wear the mask, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, and I agree to that, then I feel like I would be the dick if
yes.
I, like,
yeah.
did not follow through with
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Particularly if, you, like, you can get the whole thing shut down because of it.
Well, look at, I know you don't watch SNL, but
nope.
About a month ago, they were supposed to have some country star, I'd never heard of him before. Carrie might remember his name, but I don't remember who the hell he was. But he was supposed to be the musical guest. And then the week leading up to the show, like, Twitter videos came out where he was at this big college party. And he broke COVID protocols. And so they just unbooked him for the show. And they found somebody else real quick to do the show. But, yeah, it was a big deal. So, I mean, that's the kind of thing they have to agree to in order to get this, you know, films made and get people back to work. Then that's what you got to do.
I cannot,
God bless Tom Cruise.
I'm actually on his side on this one.
Yeah. A lot of people are on his side. Very, very, very
few
people.
See, I've seen it spun the other way.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Very few people I've seen. A lot of Hollywood, like... George Clooney, a lot of other people are like, "Oh no, we agree with Tom."
Yeah.
Although Clooney was like, "I don't know if I would have done it quite like that," but no, I don't blame you. So, well, gang, we'll be back next week with probably a shorter show as it's going to be Christmas
week.
And,
isn't Friday? Friday's the day after Christmas.
Yeah, but we'll record before Christmas.
Okay.
But we'll be back next week with an all-new show, so make sure you tune in then. Check us out on YouTube as the 24 Days of Mayhem still rolls on towards the 24th.
We've hit at least one puppet episode, I believe.
Yes, no, we've hit one puppet episode. Yep.
Yeah, the puppet keeps showing. Like, when the puppet shows up, we actually get figures.
Yeah. The puppets are good luck charm. But check that out on youtube.com/toyworldorder and make sure you hit subscribe. And gang, until next week, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
The Toy Bar peeps, it's closed. Peace out.